More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, decisions. Are you struggling to know what to do about a challenging situation in your life or relationships? Give us a call. We'll sort it out. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today we're talking about decisions, as we look at all those challenging situations we face in our life and relationships that we're maybe not quite sure what to do about, what God wants us to do about them, and not sure how to figure it out. If that sounds like it's ringing a bell for you, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Whatever that difficult decision or tough situation in your life or relationships that you're not sure how to respond to was that was on your heart when you woke up this morning, We are here to help. Again, the number 877-573-7825.
Or maybe that you wrestled with over the weekend or avoided over the weekend.
All night long.
You know, there are so many decisions to make. Everything from, you know, just even the small stuff, you know, like where do I start in the day? You know, what am I going to wear? How am I going to approach this day? There are times in all of our lives we struggle with even just the smallest of decisions because the little ones are overwhelming us because the big ones are just there looming. But the big ones, everything from the great ones, this doesn't have to be depressing. This can be, should I marry this person? You know, should we buy that home? Should we have another child? Those are big, usually decisions that are based on some kind of happiness and or moving forward.
Well, and we're not going to tell you what to do about those things, but we can give you, yeah, I know, right? But we can give you a process that helps you figure out what God is calling you to and what the right choices might be. So let's talk it out and identify those next steps in that process.
But some of the decisions are just really difficult. You know, what do I do about this thing in my life that's truly sapping my joy, making me feel like less of who I want to be? Do I stay in this job situation? Do I stay in this relationship? Do I confront this person who's draining me? That every time I have to deal with them, I just feel aggravated or it's sapping my energy and I'm not sure what to do. We have big and small decisions every single day that can really just stress us out. And if you're trying to deal with those decisions or helping someone you love and know make those decisions, like, do I go to college? Where do I go to college? Do I take this job? Don't I take this job? There are so many decisions that other people draw us into and ask our advice about. And we're thinking, what do I know? I'm not some oracle. How can I help them? Or I think I do know and I think they're making the wrong decision, but what do I tell them? We're here for all of that today as we help you with those decisions. If you're struggling to know what to do about a challenging situation in your life or your relationships, give us a call today at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we look at what St. John Paul's theology of the body can teach us about our topic of the day. And for those of you who don't know, the theology of the body is St. John Paul's reflection on what it means to be a Christian in the modern world. How can we bring Christ to others, especially in a world where people have been hurt by relationships, where people are more and more estranged from faith, and how can we encounter God more meaningfully in our lives and live a more abundant life?
And actually, when we don't know what to do, the theology of the body can help us, because it reminds us that every decision we make should help us to become what we are, as the theology of the body tells us, a whole, healed, godly, grace-filled person, the person that God sees when he looks at us. In any important decision, if we're confused about what to do, the best way to be confident in our choices is to start with prayer. Don't just pray about the situation. Ask God to teach you how to respond to the situation in a way that will bring out the best in everyone and help you be the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled person he created you to be.
Second, to hear God's voice more clearly as you sort through your options, look for the choice that seems to give us the greatest chance of pursuing greater meaningfulness, which refers to using your gifts to make a positive difference in the situation, intimacy, which means working to make your relationships healthier and stronger, and virtue, using what life gives you to be a stronger, healthier person. So whichever option leads to the greatest potential for meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, those are the three qualities upon which an abundant life rests. And of course, Jesus said that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, which doesn't just refer to the next life. It refers to how we live this life. And if we root every decision in prayer first, and ask God to teach us how to respond to the difficult situations we face, and do our best to make choices that we prayerfully believe will lead us to a more meaningful, intimate, and virtuous life, then even when we feel uncertain, we can be confident that, through God's mercy, we have made the right decisions. So we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825, about decisions. Let's talk it out and see what ways that we can help you find the best response to make in a difficult situation, the most effective choice to make in any situation. We are here for you. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. And we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we bring to you all the challenging situations that we face in our life and relationships. So hard to know what to do. So hard to know how to respond to all the things that we face in our lives. And so we bring those challenging situations to you, and we ask you to help enlighten the eyes of our hearts, Lord, so that we might be able to hear your voice, that you would teach us to respond well to those difficult decisions and questions we face, and that you would help us to choose the options that lead to greater meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, so that we might be able to make a positive difference in all the situations we find ourselves in, that we might be able to use those situations to grow closer to the people that you've placed in our lives, to you, and that you would enable us to use those situations to help us become the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled people you created us to be. We ask your blessing on all of our decisions through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, we are talking about decisions. And is there a difficult decision or a tough situation in your life or relationship that you're not sure how to respond to? Are you trying to decide how to respond to an offense or a concern, struggling to know what to say to someone? If you're having a difficult time making that big decision or supporting somebody else in making one, let us help you discern the next steps today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Catherine, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Catherine. Welcome to More to Life.
Hi, good morning. I am a cradle Catholic. My husband converted about 4, maybe 5 years ago to Catholicism.
Okay.
And prior to his conversion, he got involved in Freemasonry.
Mm.
Now, I was not, I had no knowledge that Freemasonry is forbidden. And in fact, I really did not discover this until, just a couple of months ago.
And Catherine, can I ask, did he have, especially since he's such a short-term convert at this point, had he had any knowledge, or does he have any knowledge now?
No.
Okay.
He does not.
And he does not now. I want to be clear on that. You're saying that he doesn't know that this is something that...
He doesn't know.
Okay. All right. That gives us a lot of information. Go on from there.
Yeah, he does not know. And in fact, his sponsor... who is his best friend.
His sponsor into the Catholic Church.
Into the Catholic Church.
Okay.
Is also a Mason. And I don't think he knows either. Anyway, I get to be the one to tell him. And he has grown in the ranks of Freemasonry and, you know, assorted groups. And... It's just very difficult. He really enjoys it. He enjoys the social part of it. He enjoys, you know, the Shriner Hospital, you know, helping out burn victims, you know, all of that. And yet, you know, I have done some reading. You know, there are a dozen popes that have written against it. Anyway, I need to come up with a good game plan.
Well, let me ask you, how have you approached discussions with your husband in the past where, you know, you've had to talk about something important that maybe you didn't begin seeing eye to eye on things? You know, how did you approach those kinds of conversations?
We always start with, I know that you love me, and then we talk about whatever it is, you know. Yeah, you know, I do it when it's a quiet setting and there's nothing going on and there's no, you know, I try to set it.
Mm-hmm. And how does he generally, I mean, this is a man who converted to Catholicism 5 years ago. He's obviously a man who's growing spiritually, who wants to share your faith. So normally, if you have to discuss something that's hard, so bills, his conversion, a life change of some sort, an argument, how does he receive your input?
He will usually, you know, he will listen. And sometimes he will agree and sometimes he don't want to hear it.
And when he doesn't want to hear it, what happens?
Then the conversation ceases.
For a time, or you were saying he comes back to it? How does that work?
Usually I have to bring it up again in another week or so, you know, let that percolate, kind of a thing.
But you feel like, and what we're really getting at here is not so much, you know, does he do what you say, but is he willing to have, you know, even when you guys
accept your influence, be open to you, even if it takes him some time to chew on it and digest it. And,
okay,
yeah,
so that's all very good. And tell me a little bit about how you guys pray together, if you do.
I have asked him many times to just Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be. And, you know, not really interested in that. So, so no. I mean, other than short of going to Mass together, he is not interested in praying together.
Can you tell me more about that?
Oh, well, I would love to.
I'm not. But why not? Why isn't it happening though? Like when you say he's not interested. Well, why not?
Yeah, I am guessing. He, you know, he is a veteran, a high-ranking veteran, and I think some of that is soldiers don't show a lot of emotion. And,
well, there are no atheists in foxholes, so I'm not a lot of sympathy for that.
Right?
Frankly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
exactly.
So look, I, the reason I'm bringing that up, okay, is, you know, you said that he converted a few years ago. Conversion is a process. And my sense of this is that he's converted in the sense that he's going to Mass with you, but his heart hasn't converted. And that's the larger problem here. For folks who are confused as to why, you know, what the problem is with the Masons, you know, there are a couple of things. I mean, first of all, the Masons are what are known as deists. In other words, they believe in sort of a god of some sort or another, the great architect. But it's a very kind of vague sense of that. And it is, in sense, you know, it's in the lower levels, it's presented as a social club. But as you climb in the ranks, it becomes more of its own religion. And in particular, a religion
that is... Catherine saying her husband has climbed in those ranks.
And it is, as you come higher in that, you know, the reality is the Masons have always been antagonistic toward the Church. And even as late as the late 70s, advisors to the Holy Father created a financial scandal who were members of the Masons. So, I mean, there's an ongoing antipathy toward the Church in the Masons. And as, you know, and repeatedly, Catholics have been told not to become members of the Masons, despite the economic advantages. For example, when my grandfather worked in the mill, he couldn't be a foreman because he wasn't a Mason. And so Catholics experienced a lot of persecution for not being in the Masonic Lodge. So, you know, and there's a long history there that I need to get into. But the point is, you know, and these it presents itself as a social organization and a charitable organization. And so if you're going to have this conversation with your husband, I would point him to the fact that there are many social and charitable organizations within the Church that do as good, if not better, work that are consistent with his faith. And if he is truly converted, then he should want to serve the mission of the Church. The larger problem you're going to run into here, Catherine, is that you guys don't pray together, and that you don't really share your faith. You go to Mass, but that's different from sharing your faith. It's a toe in the door. The grace is there. But I would really challenge you that the bigger issue is that the two of you need to learn to pray and communicate in a more open and authentic way. I'm glad to hear that you say that he is open to your influence. If that's the case, then I would really suggest that you start pushing a little bit harder on the prayer piece first, because, you know, just going to him and saying, I just learned that the Masons are evil, is not going to fly with him.
It's
because
his own, huge opposition.
His own experience of that is not the case. I'm not saying that they're not evil. I'm saying that his personal experience of it is, hey, they're a great bunch of guys I like hanging out with that do good charity work. Why would you tell me that they're evil?
And because he's not deeply thriving in his faith right now, you're saying he's going to Mass. That's all you really know about his faith. You don't really share it. He's not going to feel like he has any place to go, and you don't want to say, you got to choose between Catholicism and this entire social structure you've created for support in your life. You want to start to lean into developing a marital prayer life so that he knows that you're his deepest social structure, that he and God are so close that he doesn't want to put any wedge between you, so that you are more of an influence. So when you do approach him with this, you can say, so honey, let's pray about what God wants you to do about this new knowledge that we have in our lives. So you're not being the one who's saying, you got to do this.
And if we're serious about living out our faith, then what would that really require of us in this situation? That's the only way to have this conversation that's not just becomes a power struggle.
Right.
But what we're really dealing with here, Catherine, isn't just the question of your husband's involvement in the Masons. It's really a question of what does conversion mean? You know, you've tended to assume that he converted because he's been showing up at church with you. But the conversion.
And that was a great first step.
No, as I said, you know, the grace is there. It's a toe in the door. But the reality is that's not conversion. That's showing up at church. Conversion is where you let God into your heart and start letting him be the Lord of all of your decisions and of your relationship. And that can't happen unless you guys are praying together. So it's got to start there. And letting that the grace of the Holy Spirit really sink into your hearts and into the heart of your relationship, so that you can have these conversations and be praying about these decisions together. So I would suggest that this crisis is actually a call from the Holy Spirit for both of you to seek deeper conversion in your own hearts and, more importantly, in your marriage, to make the Lord of your home, not just Sundays. Thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Again, I'd really encourage you to pick up a copy of our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love, which is available at CatholicCounselors.com, and it really walks you through the steps of how to create a marital spirituality, one where you and your husband are really coming together in a genuine heart of prayer, not just saying words at God, but really bringing your hearts to God and asking him to teach you how to have the marriage and lead the lives that he's calling you to. That's Praying For and With Your Spouse,
It even has kind of talks about how to handle it if your spouse is in the same place as you are spiritually, how to manage those kinds of difficulties. So it's Praying For and With Your Spouse. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing our conversation with you today on our show titled Decisions, Decisions. Is there a difficult decision or tough situation in your life or relationships you're not sure how to respond to? Are you trying to decide how to respond to an offense or a concern, or struggling to know what to say to somebody, or having a tough time making that big decision in the first place? Let us help you discern the next steps toward that solution at 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
The EWTN home video highlight for October is They Might Be Saints, Father Michael McGivney. Miracle hunter Michael O'Neill follows the trail of Father Michael McGivney, founder of the Knights of Columbus and America's first parish priest to be beatified. This documentary explores the miraculous cure that led to Father McGivney's beatification. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com or call 1-800-854-6316.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
With 1 in 9 Americans struggling with hunger, Catholic Charities distributed over 70 million meals across the United States last year, along with life-changing services that empower people to move beyond poverty. Consider a donor-advised fund with Catholic Charities. Streamline your charitable giving while supporting the causes you care about. To learn more, go to ccusa.gives. That's ccusa.gives.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Decisions, Decisions, as we help you with those decisions about tough situations in your life or relationships that you're not sure how to respond to, what choices to make, what God might be calling you to. Let us help you find the process for answering those questions at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Mandy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Mandy. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's going on? Yes. I have a interesting dynamic going on with my two parents. I'm the only child, and I am estranged from my dad currently. I wrote a letter to him 4 months ago, before the birth of my third child, saying that I was going to stop the relationship because I was very frustrated with the lack of respect he was giving me every time we were together, and giving him boundaries but him disregarding
them. And it also says you told our screener that he emotionally and physically abused you as a child.
Correct. Okay. So, and the basically he is still emotionally manipulating and abusing me, but I feel that I have this part of me that feels obligated to keep a relationship going for his grandkids to see him. And I need to now think about what's best for me and what's going to be best for my
and how kids. Old are so, your children?
My kids are 5 and a half, 3 and a half, and a 3-month-old.
Okay. And now, it also says you told our screener that it's putting a strain on your marriage somehow?
Yeah. So, since this relationship has been decided that we aren't going to speak, he's been reaching out to my husband and sending emails of like, just very negative things about me. And like this, I wasn't invited to your son's baptism. That really took the cake. And I'm her father. I should be allowed to do these things. And, you know, you guys are.
And so, and is your husband then, I mean, he's doing that to your husband and he's trying to split you guys. Is your husband putting pressure on you then to do something different with your father?
No, he says, I support whatever you decide to do.
Okay.
He doesn't respond.
Okay, yeah. Good. So that's not putting a strain on your marriage per se. It's just that he's pressuring your husband. He's using
another level of manipulation in your life.
Right. I think the strain is coming from my angst. When I hear these things, then I dwell on it for days, and I
sure.
get all kinds of anxious and frustrated, okay. and I cry, and I'm like, am I doing, and I second guess myself.
Okay, well, I want to try to address that internal struggle that you're facing, but I had a couple other follow-up questions with it, but we need to go to our hard break, so I'm going to ask you to hang on over the break, if you could, please, and then I'll ask you one or two follow-up questions, and we'll take it from there. But yes, Mandy, I'm so sorry that you're going through this, and you are definitely dealing with somebody who is deeply manipulative and narcissistic and abusive, and you can find yourself in a place where they can really twist you into knots. So let's talk more about how to quiet that voice inside yourself so that you can be clear about how you need to move forward with this. Stick around, Mandy. And listeners, we're taking your calls as well about the tough decisions that you're facing in your life or relationships. If you are experiencing some situation that you're just not sure how to respond to, and you're not sure where to begin or how to even start to sort out what God might be calling you to, let us help you identify a process for discerning God's will and making the best decision for you and your situation at 877-573-7825. More to Life will come back right after this.
The Archbishop of Detroit, Alan Vigneron, published a little booklet called The Beauty of Truth, and it deals with this very question of words and the use of words. And it's a great sorrow, the Archbishop points out, when the quantity of words being expressed is at an all-time high, and the consequences of ill-used words are causing more harm to the cause of truth and the good of the human soul than maybe ever before. Are we part of the problem, or are we part of the solution? Are we constantly carping about society, church, media, police? Because if so, we're gonna have to go out of our way to demonstrate this kind of patience with one another, to let people think through things rather than, you know, immediately slam them with, I've got the answer for you, buddy. Words matter.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
In the church, we speak of seven gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, loyalty, courage, and reverence or fear of the Lord. When I speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts come, they give you the ability to go beyond your strength. If you're struggling to be a good person, a good member of your religion, you know it's a struggle and you don't always make it. I've been at it many, many decades, and I still struggle and trip and fall and have holes in my socks. Struggling to be a good person, something that we need help at. And this help comes to us by these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. One of the best things you can do for your marriage is to learn your spouse's love style, the style that your spouse likes to give and receive love in. People with a visual love style need to see that you love them. Tangible tokens of affection, such as flowers and gifts, mean the world to them because they can see the thought you put into them. People with an auditory love style love to feel through their ears. They love to have long conversations, hearing I love you and hearing praises. Finally, people with a kinesthetic or touch-oriented love style need to feel how much you love them through affection and acts of service. Just being there is very important to this type of person. Which love style best fits you? which best fits your spouse. Today, take the time to think of how your spouse will best receive love from you, and then act on that. For more on maintaining a happy, healthy, lifelong marriage, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today our show is titled Decisions, Decisions. Is there a difficult decision or tough situation in your life or relationships that you're just not sure how to respond to? Are you trying to decide how to deal with an offense or a concern or know what God might be calling you to? Well, let us help you walk through the process of figuring that stuff out so that you can move forward with confidence and grace at 877-573-7825. Before the break, we were talking with Mandy in Virginia, and she had been sharing with us that her father was emotionally and physically abusive as a child. She is now married and has three children of her own, all under six. That she set a boundary with her father because he's been unrepentant, that she just can't be around him anymore. And he has been doing an end run around her, trying to pressure her husband into letting him back into their lives, and it really tears Mandy apart. Mandy, you still with us?
Yes.
Was that a fair summary of the things you've shared so far?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, you know, when you said that when your dad, you know, emails or texts your husband and you know, he, you know, you learn about the things that he's saying, kind of tears you up for the rest of the day. What goes through your head about that? What is it in your mind, what does it say about you that you set this boundary?
When I read these things that my husband forwards me, it second guesses the kind of person I am if I'm being uncharitable, and that I'm making the wrong decision regarding him. And because I go right back into that state of as a child.
Well, so let's look at what does it mean to you to be charitable in general. Like if you had to explain that to somebody else, what would you tell them? What does being charitable mean to somebody like this?
Giving in to what he wants, I guess. It's weird because I want him to, I guess, is it my kids that I want them to, because he's using the kids as a the leverage.
Yeah, we'll come around to that. I'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
But I want you to really hear yourself though. Say you hear yourself say being charitable means giving other people what they want. Is there any part of you that hears that and says, that's not right?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
That's good. No, that's actually great. Yeah. The fact that you...
Kids, right? You don't
right, well, the f- perfect. The fact that you can discern that means that God's grace is actively working, that your father's abuse as a child hasn't shattered that sort of, you know, sense in you, that compass in you that knows
people,
what's right and not right.
There are some
right
people who don't know, like, who will say that and don't know that.
Especially if it's been squashed out of them by abusive childhood experiences.
So we've got two questions here. First one is kind of what does being charitable mean in this situation? And the second one is, does your father have a right to see the grandchildren? So let's talk on both of those things. Anyway, you know what? And for grins, we'll throw in a bonus question. What does honor your father and mother mean? Because it's all tied up in this too.
It really is. And both Mandy probably has that haunting her in the back of her head. Her father's probably using it against her since Mandy's a woman of faith. And a lot of other listeners are waiting on the edge of their seats trying to hear that part too.
So being charity is a kind of love. Right? And to love somebody means to work for their good. And so if I'm being charitable towards somebody, that means I'm doing what I believe would work for their ultimate good. And that doesn't mean giving them what they want. It means working to help them be a better person. Now, you know, some cases that means, you know, so the spiritual work of mercy of bearing wrongs patiently. So if you've got somebody who's trying really hard to be a good person and a loving person, but they mess up, you want to bear that wrong patiently because they're probably already beating up on themselves enough. You don't want to add you know, salt to the wound, right? You give them a little bit of space, they figure it out. So bearing that wrong patiently is a spiritual work of mercy. But then you've got the other spiritual work of mercy of admonishing the sinner. And that's for times where you have a person in their in your life who is not, you know, is habitually not behaving well, who is habitually behaving in a manner that's beneath them or that's offensive to everybody around them, pushing people away from them.
Or actively falling into active states of sin, and in this case, grave sin.
And in those cases, you have to admonish the sinner because they don't know that they're better than that. And they don't know that they need to act better, that they need to be called to more. And part of admonishing the sinner when you've, you know, when they have ignored you telling them that what they're doing is hurtful is setting boundaries. And even in Matthew 18, Jesus says that, you know, once you've confronted that person and you've brought other people into the situation to confront them, and if those things have failed, then you can shake the dust from your feet and treat that person as you would a tax collector. And, you know, and just to be clear on that, you know, you don't antagonize a tax collector. You just don't go out of your way to see them. And if you bump into them in the store, you smile at them and you get out of there as fast as you can because you don't want to be audited.
But and I want to be very clear because some people may say, well, a father like Mandy's thinks he's better than everybody else. That's not the kind of better we're talking about here. We're talking about somebody not knowing that they're called to more holiness, more virtue, more refinement in God's grace. In other words, becoming who God wants your father to be as a person, as a man of God, and as a father.
So this boundary that you've set sends the message, Dad, you know, I love you, but I can't allow you to continue to behave this way around me and my children. That's working for his good. That is the charitable response. Now, it's up to him whether he accepts that invitation to grow and to change or not, but you can't control that. But you are responsible for extending the invitation that says, I love you too much to let you continue to behave this way.
And that just doesn't mean I won't let you behave this way around me. That means you need a genuine, enlightened apology for how he's treated you as a child. You need to see him working anything from an anger management program to therapy on his own to virtual therapy with you. And I would say virtual because that's going to give you a bit of a distance.
But that would be down the road once he's done his own work.
Exactly. But you need to see him actively working on all of the stuff that caused him to be emotionally and physically abusive to you. And now gaslighting you, mentally torturing you with, you know, trying to get in the back door through your husband. And he's not even being kind to your husband, saying, hey, please help her understand. He's actively putting you down in the emails he sends your husband. This is not a repentant person.
No. So you're absolutely appropriate in setting this limit. It's the most, it is the most charitable thing to do in these situations because even, in fact, you being around him presents a near occasion of sin because he can't control himself in your presence. He needs to try to control and manipulate and abuse. And you being around him gives him an opportunity to control and manipulate and abuse. It's a bit like sticking a drunk person in front of a bar, you know, an alcoholic in front of a bar. You're tempting that person to go and drink. Same thing here. Your very presence tempts him to be this awful person. I'm not blaming you for it. What I'm saying is that it gives you the right to withdraw from this because you are removing the temptation to act that way from him.
And when you remember that, I would write it down. I'd listen to this on the podcast a couple of times and write a bunch of stuff down so that when he manipulates you again, and he will, you'll have this to go back to and you can preach this to yourself.
Point two, the grandkids.
Yes.
He does not have any right to the grandkids that you don't give him.
Not legally, not according to the church. Nothing.
Yeah, you are the ultimate authority in your children's lives. You know, the church gives you that authority, and God gave you that authority by giving you those children, right? So you, in fact, have an obligation to your children to not put them in any situation that you believe is dangerous.
And you know he's manipulative, and he's dangerous. He was dangerous to you, and he will be emotionally, if not physically, dangerous to your children because he hasn't changed anything.
And you might say, well, he hasn't hurt them. He's only hurt me.
Don't wait for that.
Well, I mean, it's a little bit like saying, again, you know, use an alcoholic thing. It's like, well, he hasn't been drunk around me, or around the kids. He's only been drunk around me. Well, it's only a matter of time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's only a matter of time before any of the kids do something that upsets him and he treats them the same way he's treated you.
And it's important for us as parents to give our children an inner compass about who they can trust and not trust. And one of the most charitable things you can do for your children right now, Mandy, is to be able to say, you know what, kids, I look at you and I want you guys to live a life where you know if someone, anyone, isn't treating you in a way that's healthy for you, that upbuilds you, that you have a right to say no to that relationship or that person. You always have that strength to be able to say no and walk away, or no, unless under these circumstances. You have that right as a child of God and the dignity that God has given you to do that. And I'm doing this with my father because he's unrepentant in how he treated me, and I want you to see that within the dignity we have as children of God, we're allowed to stand up for ourselves and the good of that other person. That's what I'm doing. As hard as this is on me, I want you to be able to see that it's okay to do, and I want you to be able to apply it to your own lives. That's the gift. That's the charity that would be most beneficial here.
The last point about honoring your father and mother, you know, to honor our father and mother does not mean doing whatever darn fool thing they want to do. It does not mean indulging their unhealthy, sinful behavior. It means honoring them. It means you living rightly and you being by your life, even if it wasn't true, you know, being able to have people look at you and say, you know, Mandy Dunn been raised right, because look at how good she is. I mean, that's giving honor to your parents. You being a healthy, strong person, even in spite of them, is honoring them. And also, you working for their good and not allowing them to continue to behave in unhealthy ways is also honoring them. Honoring them does not mean giving into whatever they want. In fact, the Catechism specifically says that adult children don't owe their parents obedience. So you have the right here to set these boundaries. In fact, I would say that you have an obligation to set these boundaries, both to your own safety, because we do have a moral right for self-defense.
And that includes your mental safety and spiritual safety as well, Mandy.
And also that you're working for your father's good by setting this boundary. You know, if your husband's going to say anything to these responses, I would have him just repeat, continue to say, I'm sorry that you're hurting, but unfortunately you cannot be in our lives unless you have got the help that you need to change your life, because we love you too much to let you continue behaving this way around us.
And my last word on this is, we all wish that we had, you know, the Waltons family, that our kids had parents in their life, grandparents in their lives, and we could all sit down for those wonderful holiday meals together. But that's a little like saying, I wish I had $1 million. You have to work to get that $1 million, right? And he can either help work on that relationship in his healing, and you can do the work by setting those boundaries, or just you don't have it. And it's okay to just say, well, we don't happen to have that, and that's sad, but we're going to make an amazing family out of you and Dad and me, and we're going to do this together, guys.
And if that frustrates your father, he can go get the help that he needs so that he can finally participate in the family that you've always wanted to have. Mandy, I hope that these points will help you move forward with more confidence and grace. We do talk more about how to set these kinds of boundaries and feel comfortable setting these kinds of boundaries in my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. You can check that out at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. And again, that title is God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. With that, we have to go to break. And as we do, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from James chapter 1, verse 5.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him.
Amen. You know, a reminder that we need to begin taking these big decisions to God, and not just saying, you know, God, you know, fix this, God, make this better. But, I mean, look, God will take whatever prayer we want to give him, so start there by all means. But if we can, to go to God and say, Lord, teach me how to respond to this in a way that will glorify you. Really help me work for the ultimate good of everybody involved, and help me be my best self and use this situation to become the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled person you created me to be. And that's how God will respond to that prayer, to give us the wisdom we need to know how to move forward in his grace. 877-573-7825. We're taking your questions about decisions and discernment today on More to Life. Give us a call. We'll talk it out after the break.
College football is back this fall. Hailing from sunny Southwest Florida, the Ave Maria University Gyrenes will take on their Sun Division opponent for exciting and hard-hitting football. All games can be live streamed by going to avemaria.edu and clicking on the live stream football button. The Gyrenes take on Florida Memorial this Saturday, game time at 7 p.m. Tune in for great college football played by an authentic Catholic university. avemaria.edu. More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 75% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. My latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, talks about how Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of modern enlightened psychology. If he's God, he knows the absolute best way to live, whether psychology agrees or whether it doesn't. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to get your copy. Jesus will tell you the best way to live.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, then follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today our show is titled Decisions, Decisions, as we talk about the difficult decisions and challenging circumstances we face. If you're not sure what to do about a tough decision or big choice you have to make, let's talk through the process of discerning what God's calling you to at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jackie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Quebec on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Jackie. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you today?
Thank you. My big decision is to sign or not to sign the divorce papers that were sent to me a week ago. And I think your last caller and James 1:5 has helped me already realize what I have to do, which is sign. And I'm heartbroken.
Of course.
I'm devastated.
Well, tell me more about that. So what's the internal struggle exactly, and how has the show helped you so far? You said that you've gotten some information already that's helped clarify some things for you.
Well, the father that was talked about in the last call being abusive and when she was a child and so forth. I mean, this man, I don't know why I'm clinging to a man that has been abusive to me, everything but striking me because he missed, you know, and I ran. So I don't understand exactly where I'm coming from as much as I've analyzed and said, oh, you're a high achiever. You don't want to lose your marriage.
Well, you know what? I think there might be a little bit more to it than even that, and this is an opportunity for healing.
There's a lot more to it than that. I mean, one, you know, you're talking about a manipulative person. So he's going to be in there, you know, doing the same thing that we just talked to Mandy about. But other than that, you are married to this man, and St. Paul as well as brain science tell us that when we are married to someone, the two become one, and all of your biological reflexes, your brain chemistry says, this is my other half, this is part of me, how do I just walk away from this? This hurts. You know, when we even break up with somebody we're not married to, it hurts because our body responds to it the same way we would if we broke an arm and a leg. So the fact that this feels painful to you is not necessarily, you know, some deep psychological thing in you, other than the fact that this is going to be painful because you're splitting from somebody who was supposed to
I'd like you to look at, though, is something called an anxious attachment wound. You know, and I'm going to just throw this out here. When we're and I don't know anything about your background, and we don't have time to get into it, unfortunately. But the dynamic that you're describing here suggests that you might have been raised in a household where you had to work hard to get your parents to love you the way you wanted to be loved. I'm not saying they didn't love you. I'm saying that you had to work hard to be loved the way you wanted to. Maybe they, you know, maybe you only got that love or approval when you did certain things. Maybe you had to work hard to get their attention in the first place for some reason. When we're raised in a household like that, kids learn that it's their job to make relationships work. And that when they're not getting the love they deserve from other people, they blame themselves. They say, well, it's because I haven't pushed the right buttons. I haven't twisted myself into the right knots. And people like your husband prey on that. They keep you around by not approving of you, which makes you dance even harder and faster to try to get them to like you and to love you the right way in the first place. And that's their love style. Well, because they know that person goes into a relationship assuming that it's their fault that they're not being loved the way they deserve to be loved. And so part of, I think, the reason you're clinging to this is because there's an old, deeper wound here that needs to be healed that says, oh, Jackie, it's always your fault if a relationship doesn't work out. No matter how much of a monster the other person might be, it's still your fault they're a monster. And that voice is the voice of Satan. That voice is the voice of the enemy. And I think this is an opportunity for you to begin to heal that wound. If you'd like to learn more about what that means, I'd like you to check out a book called Attachments by Tim Clinton. I think it'll be a real help to you in that regard. But I think that you got the... You and anybody else in this situation know that a divorce decree is a tax document. It's a civil document. It doesn't have anything to do with the status of your relationship in the eyes of the church. That's what annulment is all about. You would still be considered married to this man in the eyes of the church. That's not because the church wants to put an extra burden on you, but because the church wants to discern with you what the next step really is. You know, is this a situation that God has called you into or not? My suspicion is not, and I think that the church will find that with you. But it's important that we not, you know, just assume that the state can decide those things that are really within the church's purview to decide with us.
So you should be chaste. You should be keeping to your marriage vows in terms of anything like that. Don't go off and start dating somebody if you sign this paperwork.
And the chances are if you did, you'd end up in a similar relationship right now.
Yes, so. I fully agree. And I was going to say, but do enter into, if you decide to sign this, go and enter into the annulment process with the church with a real mind. Let me figure out why I thought I was called into this situation, and if the church says no, I wasn't, what can I do to heal that so I don't let this reoccur in my life with someone else? It can be a deeply healing process if we don't just do it as jumping through the paperwork. And so
much for the call. I'm so sorry that you're going through this. The whole thing is just heartbreaking, but I please know that God is with you, that he loves you, that you are welcome in the church, that the church wants to walk beside you through this. Please do seek appropriate pastoral support as well as counseling support as you move forward so that you can experience God's grace and his welcome and his love as you discern the next steps in your life. If you'd like additional support, my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, is all about discernment and identifying what God is calling you to, especially when our own plans fall apart. How can we find God's presence in that pain and discern the next steps forward? Again, the name of that book, The Life God Wants You to Have. It's available at Catholic Counselors. Don't hesitate to reach out to our counseling practice at CatholicCounselors.com. That's all the time we've got for today's program, but as we're wrapping up in the last few seconds, I just wanted to highlight, you know, anytime you're making a decision, first it begins with prayer, but I really encourage people to engage in a specific that will glorify you, that will help me work for the ultimate good of everybody involved, and help me use this situation to become the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled person you've called me to be. And then reflect on that and move toward the choice that enables you to pursue the greatest degree of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. That is, the choice that allows you to make the positive difference, that allows you to make your relationships healthier, and allows you to use that situation to become that stronger, godlier person that the Lord is calling all of us to be. We walk through those steps in my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, Discovering the Divine Plan When Human Plans Fail, available at CatholicCounselors.com. That's The Life God Wants You to Have. And while you're at CatholicCounselors.com, check out more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your marriage, family, or personal life. It's all there at CatholicCounselors.com. And get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because with His grace, there is so much more to life.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.